Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. We talk drafts, prospects, and the future. And one of the phenomenons that has happened lately is Brad Holmes, the Lions general manager. His drafts haven't been good. His free agent acquisitions haven't been good. His trades haven't been good. They've been great. And I always say this to people when they start saying, well, you know, I put trust in this guy. I really think that whatever he does, even if it's outside the box. And that's happened a couple times with Brad Holmes. And I've told that to people. But none of the things that look like mistakes potentially have really hurt the Lions. And his drafts have been utterly phenomenal when it comes down to building a roster. This team is really good. It's really good in a short period of time when Holmes and Dan Campbell inherited a complete and total mess. And it's all working out, Evan, as perfectly as it possibly can. I mean, even things that look like mistakes, some of them egregious. Jameson Williams taken in the draft at 12 overall. He did pretty well later in the year. It's not like, oh, this guy will never do anything. They handled that perfectly. You look at a player like Levi Uzurike, who had back issues, didn't look like he was that good a player, had a key sack here in one of the games. Paschal started the playoff game for him at defensive end. It looked like he was a bust. And he's hit so many home runs, it's unbelievable. If you retook his drafts, you'd still take Aiden Hutchinson second overall without question, right?
For sure. You would take Penei Sewell.
Penei Sewell at seven overall, even though Micah Parsons is such a wrecking ball. Penei Sewell is a first-team All-Pro.
Yeah.
Hutchinson's in the Pro Bowl already. And I think, what is he, second-team All-Pro or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, even this past year, he was highly criticized for taking Gibbs, Campbell, and Laporta as high as he did, and all three of those guys are part of the reason why they're in the position they are this year.
Yeah, really, overall, would you rather have Jalen Carter or Gibbs after looking at that year last year? I mean, Jalen Carter.
He started off hot, and then he faded. Where Gibbs, on the other, you know, they started him slow, and his rise has been, you know, just like that old Price is Right game.
And, it, you know, it's forgotten that if you were to look at the season that Ayla McNeil, a third-round draft pick, had and juxtapose it, especially the first half with Jalen Carter, they're not that much difference. Jalen Carter's a real talent, and you don't have to worry about what's going on off the field. You don't have to worry about your culture in the locker room. And, of course, you go beyond, and it looked like second round was tough. The one that just absolutely has blown me away is Fetu Milifonwu here late in the second half. I mean, that guy, he was the first pick they used in the Stafford trade. And he looked like he couldn't play. He was hurt. You know, all these different things. He was drafted as a corner. They moved him to safety. And he was about as good as any safety in the league, you know, starting in December when – it was money time.
Yeah, he was like a missile off the edge. When you needed a guy from the secondary to go blitz, he was your man, and he got home almost all of the time.
He had a pass rush grade after one game, 99 from Pro Football Focus. I don't think I've ever seen that.
What is the highest? Is like 100 the highest?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's So he's made some really good plays in the secondary.
Look at James Houston last year, what he did. Now, obviously, he's been hurt this year, but I mean, there's still a lot of high hopes that kid comes back for the playoffs and can put some pressure off the edge.
But his sacks, when he got in there, it's not a coincidence. It's about the same time the team, which had started out 1-6, turned it around.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Sixth round pick, and then you've got the all timer, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown is first team All Pro. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, a fourth round draft pick.
And a guy that doesn't kill you with speed, a guy that doesn't kill you with his height or his physicality. Yes, he's a big, strong guy, but in a smaller body. I mean, and he goes out there and he produces. A lot of people didn't think he was going to be a wide receiver one. He is by far. And he's a top five receiver in the game, if you ask me.
So, let's look at this. We didn't mention Kirby Joseph yet. Starting safety. He didn't have that great a year overall, but he picks off a lot of passes and makes big plays. And if he doesn't hit Higbee, the tight end from the Rams, the Lions don't win that game. You know, he said, well, hit him in the knee. Well, it's illegal. You know, don't bobble the ball and start looking at it and not expect to get hit. I don't think he was doing it to try to ruin his career, trying to win the game. He has been – excellent. And in this past draft, Gibbs, Laporta, Jack Campbell is going to be an all rookie. I think he was named all rookie by Pro Football Focus, by the way.
Yeah, he almost had 100 tackles this year and didn't play very much at all to start the year.
And what are the Lions really good at defensively? What do? They take away the run of the opposition. Mm-hmm. He's played a big factor in that. Their linebacker core is better. But he's been overshadowed simply because all these other players are so good. And Brian Branch got off to such a hot start.
He's a really good player. Just forget about him, you know? That's how good their draft was.
It's unbelievable. And it comes on top of two other drafts that were back-to-back the best drafts the Lions have ever had in history.
Well, and heck, if you go back, the biggest trade in Lions history was Brad Holmes moving Matthew Stafford when he first got here.
Yeah, and I don't know how y'all felt, but truthfully, I thought Jared Goff was a bridge quarterback, that they would draft a quarterback early in the draft and that he would be not – and Jared Goff's way better than that, better than that. Go ahead.
And Brad Holmes, I mean, from day one, I would say 99% of people thought he was just going to be a guy until the next guy. But Brad Holmes has stuck to his guns this entire time. And it constantly said that Jared Goff can win in this league. Jared Goff can do this, that, and the other thing. And boy, did he prove a lot of people wrong. And a lot of people were against Goff, too, because how they started off with him, right? And just the team in general under Campbell and all of that. And they've gone and put egg on every single person's face. And it's – Pat, I went to that game on Sunday. I've covered a lot of events in my 20 years doing this. I have never been to an event like that where the crowd was on their feet from 30 minutes before the game to the very end of the game. And, you know, people say culture, and that's exactly what Brad Holmes brought in, was a culture. I mean, look at him on that elevator after they won, sitting there screaming, that's a guy that cares more than I have ever seen a general manager care, at least emotionally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and he's been spectacular. Now, here's the thing. He's obviously off to an absolutely incredible start, all right? But where does he rank? Is it fair if we're doing a ranking of all-time great general managers in Detroit? I'm talking about throw the Pistons, the Tigers, and Red Wings in there. Where does he rank among those? And is he similar where he's not similar to them? Who would you say off the top of your head, you think the greatest GM in Detroit sports history has been?
Okay, so I have a bias, obviously, because of the sports that I like. But I think Jack McCloskey is up there for the Pistons and those 80s and 90s teams. Ken Holland is obviously going to be up there. A lot of Red Wing fans soured on here near the end and that wasn't necessarily his team, and that was what, Devolano's team or something like that. I personally think Dave Dombrowski belongs up there too. Yes, he did not bring a championship here, but like we talked about, I was born in 1983. That was the only winning baseball I've seen in my entire life was when Dave Dombrowski was here. But the question that I have about Holmes, because yes, hindsight is 2020. Martin Mayhew got the Lions team to 2 playoff appearances. Yes, they did not win. Does that win right there for you cement him and everybody else as a distant second?
As far as Lions GMs,
yes. Okay.
The difference between Martin and Brad Holmes is Martin hit with Stafford, right? He gets the job. He's got the first overall pick. And believe it or not, Stafford was not a no-brainer.
No, you know,
I was on Aaron Curry. The linebacker from Wake Forest and Robinson, offensive tackle from Auburn. Yep. And Lion fans love offensive tackles. And I think Penny Sue was showing exactly why they're right. And Decker, too. And but Martin, he also drafted Sue. And yeah, you know, he had other choices. And you can debate whether you should have taken Eric Berry there, who's like a Hall of Fame type player. But I don't know. It's kind of hard not to think that was the right pick. And it was pretty obvious, I think, at the time.
Yeah, it just made me think because, I mean, those are my Lions playoff appearances as an adult were, you know, 11, 14, and 16 up until this year. And they obviously they didn't get anywhere to what they are now. And
they didn't draft well past the first round. They got one guy who was an outstanding player for a couple of years. I mean, a true difference maker. And he's probably forgotten by a lot of Lions fans, but it was DeAndre Levy. And he was the key to the 2014 defense. He didn't even make the Pro Bowl, but he was a phenomenal player. But it was only for a couple of years, and he was a great leader, too, great leader in the locker room and all that. But other than that, he missed on a lot of guys, and not anybody in the later rounds, really. You know, the only one he got was Diggs.
Yes.
From
he was like a sixth round pick from Texas.
Sixth round pick, and he's still playing well in the league. Other than that, Darius Slay, with the first pick of the second round, was a pretty darn good pick, but he missed on a lot of guys beyond the first round.
Sure.
And that ultimately caused a problem, and he focused too much on getting weapons for Stafford, you know, and that became a problem for everybody. The one thing I like about what Brad Holmes has done and the difference between that is he's pretty much balanced the roster. Now, they haven't been able to fix the defense the way they want to, but they sure as heck tried. I mean, if Mosley had been able to play this year and Gardner Johnson were healthy for the entire year, it wouldn't have been, nearly as iffy. But I got to tell you, Kirby Joseph and Melifonwu have been outstanding, you know, in a certain sense. And I thought people rip on Jerry Jacobs, and he shouldn't have been starting. That was out of necessity, but he wasn't even drafted. All right. So, I mean, you already got a lot out of that. I mean, he made some key interceptions and things that helped them win games too. So they've done a really, really good job of building their roster.
Now let's try to narrow it down. Okay. So if he's number one with the Lions, with a bullet, like we can all agree on that. The Pistons are interesting because you have the 80s and then you have the Joe Dumars teams. Who is number one for you with the Pistons?
Jack McCloskey.
Okay.
You know, Joe did a great job initially and basically built a team out of nothing with a lot of acquisitions. But the job that McCloskey did was phenomenal. Bill Lambeer, you know, if you think about it, Bill Lambeer shared starting time at Notre Dame when he was in college with Bruce Flowers, who's from Berkeley High School. All right. Played the NBA very briefly. And Notre Dame had great teams back then, Digger Phelps, and Bill Lambeer was a top recruit and everything. But to get Bill Lambeer from Cleveland and then have somebody who could lead the league in rebounds, he inherited Isaiah Thomas, which, was obviously a key. And he managed to build the team around those guys very, very successfully in the period that he was the general manager. Buddha Edwards, Vinnie Johnson, They were kind of cast-offs from other teams. And they came in Detroit and had perfect roles for them. And
Mark McGuire via trade. I mean,
well, they got him. He got Adrian Dantley, who was a big time scorer, and he ended up being traded for Mark McGuire. So he acquired a guy and then traded him for a guy, which is a lot of the things that general managers do. But basketball is a lot different than sports, than football in that regard. Football, you don't see those type of trades nearly as much. He drafted Joe Dumars late in the first round.
I mean, McNeese State, who would have thought?
Right, exactly. Dennis Rodman in the second round. And also, he was integral with Chuck Daly being hired as head coach.
And without Chuck, I don't think any of that happens.
Right, and he was just like the perfect orchestra. And Chuck, he knew Chuck Daly for a long time in the past and all that, but Chuck didn't have very successful coaching experience as a head coach in the NBA. He was had a real good team at Penn. And they also brought in the perfect assistant general manager, a guy named Dick Harder. So he had coaches in his pipeline that he brought in. And with Joe, look, Joe did a terrific job until it kind of fell apart on him.
Basically, when Bill Davison passed away is when it went sour on him.
Well, what he did is at the end, and he did the same thing that Ken Holland did, essentially. They were very similar in their MO. They kept signing free agents that weren't that good with cap space. And ultimately, it just led to, a demise rather than a continuation. But initially, Joe Dumars getting Chauncey Billups for nothing. I thought it was a terrible trade at the time. You know, why are you trading your best player, Jerry Stackhouse, for Richard Hamilton? You know, it turned out to be a great trade. When Grant Hill left to go to Orlando and they had to sign and trade, the player everybody was talking about was Chucky Atkins. You know, but it was Ben Wallace. Oh, and by the way, Ben Wallace is in there.
Yeah, they wanted, what was his name, Ben Amici or John Amici. It was the guy that they wanted, and they couldn't get him. So they got, Ben Wallace.
Ben Wallace. You talk about hitting the – you can say it's lucky and not good, but it is what it is.
Exactly.
And and Chauncey Billups, Chauncey Billups to me was the best player on those teams.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of good players on those teams, but, you know, he bounced around the league and was considered a draft bust. So, and Tayshaun Prince, you know, at a time when kids started coming out early, stayed his whole time at Kentucky, and they took him late in the first round. And he pulled the trigger at just the right time on the Rasheed Wallace trade. So all the things that people have angst about Joe with, you know, the Darko pick, what happened later on in his tenure.
Ben Gordon, trading Chauncey for Allen Iverson, all that stuff.
And, so I would say if I would go McCloskey number one with the Pistons and number two, Joe Dumars, obviously. I would not put Troy Weaver on that list.
No. Okay. I think I rank where Troy Weaver is right now. But with the Red Wings, I mean, it's without a doubt it's Ken Holland, right?
Red Wings got a long history. So it depends on how far back you go. They had their great cup runs with Jack Adams. They had the trophy for the coach of the year is named after. But he was kind of a tough old curmudgeon type of guy, that the penny pincher and, you know, always trying to. So he kind of broke up the team too early. He traded Ted Lindsay out of spite to Chicago for really being integral in the union being started for the players. And he had a great team in the 50s that won multiple cups, and he broke it up. So it's it depends on how you look at it. Jimmy Devolano was the guy that built the Red Wings. Jimmy Devolano was the orchestrator. If you were to talk about a number one guy, it's Jimmy D. Because Jimmy D came in, and Mike Ilitch, constantly when he bought the baseball team was looking for his Jimmy D, and he felt that he found it in Dave Dombrowski ultimately. But Jimmy D came in. They were called the Dead Wings, all those things. Drafted Iserman, and that was very, very important. And he was the orchestrator of everything that the Red Wings built up to then. Ken Holland was a benefactor of that when he came in. Now, Ken Holland was a brilliant general manager at times. He did some really good things. Great hockey guy, deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame. But Jimmy D was the orchestrator of that. So if you ask me, and I'm not big on Jack Adams, knowing all the stuff that I know about the Red Wings history and everything, I would without question go with Jimmy D.
Yeah, right, so oh, go ahead.
And Yzerman will probably be the best all time, I'm guessing. I don't know. We'll see how he does. You know, the team is making a lot of progress here. They're looking pretty good. I would say that in baseball.
This is what I was waiting for. It's Randy Smith.
No, it's not. I used to get so much heat about Randy Smith when I was, you know, Randy had, you know, a lot of good ideas and everything. And John McHale brought him in. But he had 7 years and a lot of his prospects all faded out. But Dave Dombrowski had to pick up the pieces from that. And I thought Dave Dombrowski was utterly brilliant as a general manager with the Tigers. It amazes me that, you know, he's the success he has wherever he goes, it follows him, you know. And the irony of it is he came up in an organization, Montreal, where they were cheap. And he, you know, he built his teams like that. And he built basically a team that had the best record in baseball. And it was basically stopped because of a strike. And then he goes to the Marlins, and they struggle. They finally have a winning team, and it wins the World Series. And with the Tigers, the first 4 or 5 years, you know, were just brutal with Dave as GM. But he hired Leland at just the right time. And they drafted Justin Verlander. And that changed the whole course of the franchise. Justin Verlander wasn't going to sign with the Tigers either.
Really?
Dave Dombrowski came out and had announcements that we're not signing him. We can't sign him and all that. And then Justin Verlander's father stepped in for the agent, and he had been a negotiator in a union, and they ended up signing him. But they came out, and that was like 7 or 10 days in between. It looked like he was gone, and Verlander turned out to be an all-time great pick. You know, Evan, it's amazing how this works. All right, you've heard of Homer Bailey, right? The guy who pitched for the Reds. He threw a couple no-hitters. Absolutely. The Tigers were going to take Homer Bailey. He was a high school kid from Texas, and he was a pretty good major league pitcher.
He was.
And Verlander ended up being the pick. And Verlander was 21-18 in college in the non-Power 5 conference. And he would pitch for the USA team and everything, and he threw really, really hard. But he had a situation where if you look at Justin's motion, where he lands on his front leg. He's got what they call a stiff front leg. Look at every picture of him finishing his motion. And you know how pitchers usually got his leg bent and going toward the plate? Yeah. Justin's bends almost hyperextends. And this was an issue that they went back and forth with. And he's taken that same pitching motion and, you know, to the Hall of Fame, one of the all-time great pitchers, the greatest in Tigers history. And getting him some
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole. Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Was the key to that turnaround. That and the draft pick of Joel Zamaya and a pick that they had a little bit earlier in Curtis Granderson, a fourth rounder, and Brandon Inns, a second rounder. But they really messed up Brandon Inns' career for a long time. He was going to catch, and he'd play third base, and they were working on his hitting style. And Dave, you know, people say, well, you know, Mike Yilich opened up his pocketbook and they went and got Pudge. Well, I think that turned around kind of a mindset in the organization. And he got Maglio, and those guys are key, and Kenny Rogers, right? Yep. But the key to Dave Dombrowski's success was the trades that he made. I mean, think about the players he got in trades.
I mean,
Carlos Guillen. Carlos Guillen. He got him for actually a minor leaguer named Juan Gonzalez, who wasn't the Juan Gonzalez that wouldn't sign with the Tigers long term, thank God. And another minor league pitcher. He got Placido Polanco in a trade for Ugarte Urbina, who spent 7 years in a Venezuelan prison for setting a man on fire.
It gave
a new meaning to firemen, Evan.
A little bit. I mean, you got Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer. I don't know how they pulled off the Max Scherzer trade. Max Scherzer was an 11th overall pick, I think it was. And he had a fairly decent year in the major leagues. It wasn't like he was some kind of bust. And the guy's got a zillion-dollar arm. It's still going, you know? What a trade. Austin Jackson, when Granderson – they had to move on from Granderson. Amazing. To get that type of player, just go down the list of players that he acquired at different times. Sometimes his trade deadline deals fell flat, but other times, look at Delman Young.
He was an AL MVP for the ALCS. You got, what about Gary Sheffield? How well he performed when he was healthy?
Yeah, I mean,
Prince Fielder, you signed his ass. Like,
well, I didn't look. Those signings were not Dave. Those were Mike Yilich.
Okay.
And they didn't actually work out so well for him. But look how Dombrowski got out of the Prince Fielder deal.
I mean, there was thought that it couldn't be done.
Well, look what he got. Do you remember?
Ian Kinsler.
Ian Kinsler is a borderline Hall of Famer if you believe in metrics.
Yeah, he was a perennial all-star for the Rangers.
He was a perennial all-star for the Tigers.
Yeah.
You know, just an absolutely amazing trading record. And I'm sure there are some of the things that just we're doing this off the top of our head we may have missed. So I got a lot of respect for him as a baseball person, even though I look at him as a little bit too old school when it comes down to he's all about scouts, not very much about analytics, even to this day. But Dave really did a phenomenal job in Detroit. And it's too bad they didn't win the World Series here, you know. But look what he's done in Boston and Philly, putting together a team. Now, their drafts, during his time weren't overwhelmingly good. Now, they're picking a little bit later in the draft, but he didn't pick up a lot of good drafts. And Dave did let the minor league system go a little bit.
Wouldn't he trade those guys like the Andrew Millers, the Cameron Maybens of the world? He would try to look to move those guys and get
Jacob Turner. Yeah,
and I forget whoever they traded for. The kid from the Braves, Renteria. Like, that was another big time move at that time. You know, getting him from the Braves. And
well, he had a few that didn't work.
Yes.
All right. You know, I always say it's about general managers that they all miss. So when I looked at the situation with Dombrowski, he had a couple stinkers. One of them was getting the big pasta, Alfredo Simon. He traded Suarez, who's still raking all over baseball now. That didn't work out well. They threw in Willie Adames in the trade with Tampa. That didn't work out so well to get David Price, because Willie Adames ended up being, you know, he still is, you know, a prominent major league player. So he had a couple deals that came back and backfired many years down the road.
I've got one. Jared Washburn.
Yeah, Jared Washburn and Aubrey Huff. Those are two. Yeah. I see Aubrey Huff's always on social media, and he's
a big political guy these days.
Yeah, he's a big political guy. And I always look at that, and I think about the, you know, how baseball works, because Aubrey Huff is a really good major league hitter. And when they got him and Washburn, I thought, man, they're going to carry the Tigers to wherever they want to go, because they're both really good. But Huff didn't do anything here. He was awful. And then he goes to the Giants, kind of the same situation.
He has like an all-star season.
Right. With Renteria was the World Series MVP. They had players – they had players like Cody Ross from the Tigers. Remember that guy? You know, guy? Yeah. And Andres Torres, you know.
Was he finished seventh for the MVP the year after he played with the Tigers. Seventh for the MVP.
Renteria?
No, Aubrey Huff.
Aubrey Huff.
189 with the Tigers to 290 the following year. He had 26 home runs. Like
that guy, you know, so every time and I don't care about his political opinion. I'm fine with, you know, whatever people want to say. You know, they stand by what they do. It has nothing to do with his political opinion, whether I agree or disagree. But every time I see him get up there, like, I think one time he answered some guy back, like, well, you know, I played Major League Baseball, made over there. And I'm like, yeah, well, you were in Detroit, man. They don't have fond memories of you in Detroit. You know, because you hit everywhere else but Detroit. Hey, I'm sure, you know. Dombrowski did not sit still when the team was going bad. He did stuff. He made moves. And the irony is, Al Avila succeeded him. That was his downfall. He just didn't make – he did not make value for value trades. And when he finally did, got into the opportunity, it looked like he made a great trade for Austin Meadows, and it wasn't. It was a complete opposite, so it backfired on him. So, but I have to say this: I would put Dombrowski one. I know a lot of people, the old school people, put Jim Campbell one. This may be come from some kind of personal. Hey, you know, I knew this guy. He wasn't, you know, he ran the organization down eventually, where when Mike Ilitch bought it, and granted, Ilitch bought it for a bargain basement price. He took a franchise that had built this brilliant, you know, core of players that, you know, was almost the winningest team of the 1980s, despite having a terrible 89 season, and did win that magical 84 season and just tore it down, you know, and to put it up for sale because John Fetzer wanted to have it sold at some point. And that was a key. And they were that decision to basically not invest, basically gut when everybody else was investing on more coaches in the minor leagues and all that, ultimately led to a big downfall for the Tigers. But Jim Campbell, to his credit, did make some moves that were, I would say, he got Denny McClain in a waiver deal. Their scouts did a great job of getting Bill Freehand and Willie Horton. By the way, my wife's grandfather signed those two players for the Tigers, Lou DiNunzio. And you know, players like Mickey Stanley, Dick McAuliffe, you know, that whole core of that team Mickey Lolich, and they were from all over the country. A lot of guys from Michigan, actually, but all over the country. Mickey Lolich in Portland, Oregon. Dick McAuliffe in Massachusetts. You know, players from all over the country. Don Wirt from Pennsylvania. So their scouting did a real good job, but he ruled with an iron fist. You know, he was a little bizarre. You know, did I ever tell you my Jim Campbell story?
No.
Okay. It's 1989 season. The Tigers just totally faded. They had 11 straight winning seasons and all this stuff. And then they had an awful season in 89. So all of a sudden they're going into the free agent market, right? You know, you're hearing about they're making offers to these players of the time, Ken Herbeck, Pete O'Brien and all that. And it was before the cell phones, Evan. Then I go to a payphone because the winter meetings, they just put you in a room and you just sit there and try to break stories. It's kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
I've been there once. It was
pretty amazing. So I call Jim Campbell from a payphone because I don't want anybody to hear what I'm saying. I call him up in his room and he answers the phone and he's mad at me, you know. I don't know about what, but he didn't like me and Vern plaguing off this guy from MLive because we were always breaking stories and he sensed that we were getting from other people in the organization who didn't like it, and he was right. And I call and I say, hey, Mr. Campbell, what's with all the free agent signings that I keep getting information from agents about? You know, this agent told me this and this agent told me that. And he says to me, he says, Mr. Campbell, huh? I know what you're going to say as soon as you hang up this phone. You're going to say that fat old bald and I don't want to even say it on a podcast, but it's very un thing. And he slammed the phone down on my ear. You know, I was like, he said, oh, before he took a couple shots, how do you know we didn't make a hell of an offer to Bobby Grich? I mean, like in the 70s or something. I was like, you know, they signed one free agent over that whole period. It was Darrell Evans, you know, and all of a sudden they had to sign free agents. So I look at that, and again, this is a personal prejudice because his general manager, after he sat down, his general manager stepped down, was Bill LaJoy, and I knew Bill LaJoy very well. I was close to Bill LaJoy. You know, I played junior college baseball with his son and, you know, all that. And he wrote a book with my the coach up there at St. Clair, Dick Groach. And Dick Groach was a scout that signed Derek Jeter for the Yankees. He's the guy who said, this is a Hall of Famer, you know, and all that. And, you know, so I knew him and he knew me from like when I played because he knew people, you know, around. So he hit it off with him real well. We were both real moody and kind of, you know, but Bill LaJoy, he's the one who acquired Willie Hernandez, spring training for John Walkenfuss and a couple other players. And he's the one that, you know, was the scout. Scouting director when they signed Lou and Tram and Gibby and Jack Morris was a fifth round pick and others. So I look at him more than Jim Campbell as being in that category. So if you ask me though, because Dombrowski had longevity, Bill was only, you know, Bill, I would, it's to me, it's a toss up between LaJoy and looking at Dave Dombrowski because Bill LaJoy was phenomenal.
LaJoy had, what, 84 and 87, right?
Yeah, 84, 87, and he's the one who signed Cecil from Japan. Acquired Tony Phillips, Mickey Tettleton. Kept the team competitive.
That's my team, man. That's me growing up.
And that's despite them taking away basically all bonus money. Tigers would draft guys on signability only, and they had terrible drafts throughout the 80s. I mean, it's just it was unbelievable. So That would be the two with that. So looking at it, where does Brad Holmes rank with that? Is it fair to put him in that category? LaJoy won the World Series. All right, as GM. Jim Campbell won a World Series as GM. You look at Joe Dumars, he won the NBA title. He had six straight years of teams that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, went to another final. You've got Jimmy Devolano, who basically built a core of a team and a franchise in a way that was basically ahead of its time. And they ended up winning four cups in 11 years. And Ken Holland was general manager for a lot of that. Where does that rank? And then you know, you look at McCloskey in back-to-back championships. So what I think was the salad days of the NBA with Magic, Bird, yeah. Michael Jordan, Hakeem,
coming in, Dominique, Dr. J. All those guys. Yeah.
Dominique could dunk, man. Ooh. So
could score a lot of points on a lot of shots.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was great. But here's where would you rank Holmes? Is it too early to put him in that kind of category?
You know what sucks is, unfortunately, it's a matter of circumstance, and he would have to be four on that list. I understand that. I know that football is king here, but you still got to win more than a wild card game for me. Now, if he beats the Bucks this weekend, I do think he goes into that three spot. And does he move down Dombrowski? Probably, because they're in the same boat, in my opinion.
The thing that I know the sport's different. You can turn around in the NFL faster. I think the one thing that about Brad Holmes that I would put on, you know, in his favor on that is it took a while for those other GMs to win. Jim Campbell was the GM of the Tigers for a long time. You know, he had the one win and one other playoff appearance when he was – well, yeah. And then in 84, LaJoy was integral to building the team, and then he made the key trade to put it over the top. He drafted all those guys. He was responsible for it. But, you know, it took a while. Tram and Lou were drafted in the mid to late 70s, all those players, and it took till 84 that they won it. So they had time. Dombrowski, yeah. His first few years as Tiger general manager, the team was basically a disaster. He had time. And Joe, he had a little bit of time, too, you know, before he was able to get what done. So Brad Holmes, it's like 2 years. I mean, think about it. He had three drafts, and all of them have been great.
And you see it all over his product on the field, all over.
Yeah. I mean, I tell
you. The only person that doesn't play, even look at Rodrigo last year, right? How big of a role that kid had to play for this team. And now he's a special teams guy, and it seems like he fully embraces it. But that's another one that you look at. I mean, in all reality, Brad Holmes' only bad move was Trinity Benson. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a pretty good track record if that's your only bad move, a fourth receiver on your team.
I mean, even the move, you know, I hated the DeAndre Swift trade.
Yeah, so did I. I didn't understand it.
Look, I don't have a problem with them trading him. If you think Gibbs is better, and he is. Yep. And but why trade him to the Eagles? Because he could be coming back here if the Eagles didn't fade. But here's the thing. Eagles aren't coming back. So none of it has been like, and people could say, well, why get rid of Jamal Williams and, you know, Montgomery? Look, I always thought a lot of David Montgomery, but he's better than I thought he was.
Yes. You know,
I saw him play like all those games with the Bears and everything. He's always been a good, hard runner, but put him behind that offensive line. I mean,
That makes you wonder, too, because Jamal scored, 17 touchdowns last year for the Lions, which was a franchise record, which kind of hurt me inside that this guy that's barely been here is going to go hold this franchise record. But he scored one touchdown this year in New Orleans, and that was on the last play of the game for the Saints, which they had to defy their own coach's choice and do that on their own. So it's like the offensive line that Brad Holmes has built, and it's phenomenal. I mean, I get that. Ragnow was a Quinn guy, but I mean, you
well, so was Decker. But the thing about it is, when he looked at his team, he saw he had two things he could build around.
Yep, and he went and got Jonah Jackson in the draft, and he's been phenomenal for him. And I you're right. I think it's one of those debates that we can have here in Detroit that will last a long, long time.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, but there might be a point where he just blows by everybody. You know,
I mean, Pat, if he makes the Super Bowl this year. Good night. See you later. It's Brad Holmes.
Yeah. It's just been phenomenal. Most of the people that we talked about, I think pretty much all of them that I knew. I knew Nick Kerbaway, you know, who was the last GM for the Lions. You know, I knew him. He was the director of the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. So all the people we've talked about here, I've known. But I'll tell you this, Brad Holmes has been utterly phenomenal. Think about this, Evan, too. What if Riley Patterson had remained their kicker?
Yeah, I mean, what do they make?
They didn't make the change. Did they make the change? The bad. I don't think Riley Patterson would have made a 54-yard field goal.
No, not under the pressure or anything. Yeah. And you know what? That was the one thing that if we could have been critical on was the kicker. And do you have trust in the kicker? And when the chips are on the table, they sent him out there and he got it done. And it's like, you can't ask for anything more.
Right. So it's kind of hard to look at it, even somebody like Skipper, you know, how many plays Skipper makes for him in this like kind of like weird way, you know, the cast off offensive lineman.
Well, even going to getting Josh Reynolds, that was a cast off from the Rams, or getting a Khalif Raymond, or, you know, you got last year had to come in and play a huge role for this team. And you got him off the scrap heaps. Look at this Vildor that's playing. You're starting now that you got off of Philly's practice squad. And right now, I bet you Philly would be like, we wish we had that kid on our team. And
yeah, watching him whiff in the secondary on tackles. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's super impressive. And I mean, even Anzalone, right? They go and sign him where everybody's
big time signing.
He is their best linebacker. And the draft of Derek Barnes, who started off a little shaky, but now he's a main cog on that defense. And I mean, Pat, you know, I've been one of the biggest pessimists when it comes to the Lions and everything that we've seen in our time. And he's gone and flipped the script on every last thought. I mean, the Lions of the past with their former quarterback having the ball down 1 point with 4 minutes to go, 9 out of 10 times that guy won it before this year. And that's not the case anymore. And that's very encouraging and exciting.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal run, but you can talk about a lot of different things. And Dan Campbell obviously has been a terrific coach. And they got really
even good. Even going and hiring him, though, Pat. Having the balls to go hire this guy that had done it a little bit with the Dolphins in the interim, but trusting that guy and bringing him in. And, you know, the firing of Anthony Lynn in that first season and then bringing in Ben Johnson. And it's like, the guy can't do any wrong here right now. It's crazy.
It's phenomenal. It is. And I'll tell you what, at least for the short term, there's a lot of times, you know me, I'm more of a pragmatic than jumping off, you know, on and off the bandwagons and everything and look at it. And then I'm the last to just go anoint somebody before their time. But Brad Holmes has been phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal as a Lions GM. And I think that's the biggest factor in their success, truthfully. Now, they got others, you know, obviously, Chris Spielman's in the front office and very, you know, he's selfless, you know. So,
yeah, but I mean, even bringing in like a John Dorsey that's done it before and he takes a back seat and just plays his role. And that's the thing. I mean, even this Disner guy that was responsible for this and that, now he's getting other opportunities to go look. And I think this is a huge year for Brad Holmes, because if they lose Ben Johnson and they lose Aaron Glenn, where do they go? Are they able to reload what they've been able to do? And I think for right now, there's never been a better time to be a Detroit Lions fan. That's for sure.
You know, the other thing too, if you look at their front office structure and their scouting staff, he didn't make a lot of changes.
No.
He implemented change within, you know, what he thought. He gave the people that were there. So is Sheila Hamp and the ownership. Like Disner. Disner was hired by Quinn and Patricia. So and their scouts are – people say, well, they got better scouts. Oh, their scouts have been with them for, like, ever, most of them.
It's a philosophy, right? I mean, tell them what you want, and those guys are trained to go get what you want. And
well,
so far –
what it tells you is that, you know, and I used to hear this all the time, Lions have terrible scouts. And I'd say, well, you know, the scouts only bring the information.
Sure.
The person who makes the decision is the key person. And that's Brad Holmes. Brad Holmes is in charge of player personnel for the Lions. And their roster is night and day over a very short period of time. So he deserves whatever credit he's getting. I think he's been phenomenal. It's just incredible. And when people talk about the Lions, Dan Campbell, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, all those people deserve a lot of respect, obviously, golf. But the key factor was the hiring of Brad Holmes, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
But anyway, enjoyed the conversation, Evan. I know, you know, you're happy right now about the Lions for sure. And all the moments that we spent, you know, watching them lose those games together, it's not happening right now. They're utterly terrific, and we'll see what happens against the Bucks coming up on Sunday. Until then, next time, don't forget, like us, subscribe to us, download us, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com, wherever you get your podcasts. And always appreciate you listening. Until next time, we'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.